I want you to take your Bibles, if you would, turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. What a great day. I'm telling you, I'm trying to convey this to you, and I don't know if you'll get it, but there's something going on here, something good going on here. Wow, I'm so excited for you. I'm excited to be a part. We're going to move on in our series of revival messages. We need an awakening. We need an awakening. Tonight, I want to look at the power of God. We touched on it a little bit this morning, but I want to look a little more in depth into the power of God, because in my study of revivals, I saw in every one of them that there was an unquestionable power of God. There was an evident power of God upon that place. You'll see in the messages to come that there were men that were walking down the street and they just stopped in the middle of the street. They took out their hats, they bowed their heads, and they said, God is in this place. It was so real to them that they showed a great reverence to him. The power of God. So far, we've learned that in the beginning stages of the Great Awakening revivals, there were two major elements equated to them: poignant prayer and a very real presence of God. I must add to this noted aspect, the power of God. The power of God. I love powerful things. I love locomotive engines. I love big trains. Our town, St. Thomas, is called the railway capital of Canada. At one time, there were 80 trains that came through our city in a day. A lot of travel between Buffalo and Detroit. We're right in the middle of Lake Erie, right in between Buffalo and Detroit. I'm 2 hours to Detroit. I'm 2.5 hours to Buffalo. And so those trains would come through. Many U.S. military men traveled to the Second World War on those rails that come through St. Thomas. It's a beautiful station there. They revived it over the years, and some great history there. And I love when they break those engines out. There's a museum there, a train museum. And every now and then they'll bring those old trains out, and boy, those things are just big, and they're powerful. I love it. I love heavy equipment. I love excavators and bulldozers. And I had a chance up in Alaska to see some of the earth movers, that those giant trucks with wheels that are, you know, 10, 12, 15 feet high. They're amazing and just so loud. I love that power. I love the power of God. Niagara Falls. I know many of you have been there. People always say, I've been to Canada. I say, where were you? Niagara Falls. Everybody goes to Niagara Falls. We have 6,000 miles across and 4,000 north, and everybody goes to Niagara Falls. Come and see the rest of our country. Your dollar right now is worth about $1.44 Canadian, so you're going to come for almost half price. So come on up. We need your money. Things are tough right now, all right? Niagara Falls. If you've seen Niagara Falls, you must see them from the Canadian side. You must. We paid a little extra, and boy, was it a deal. And when you come over to the Canadian side, you can walk along the river, the Niagara River, and you will come down to the end of a park, and you'll walk down. And as you walk down, it'll be quiet. You'll see the water moving. There's an old barge that's there. You'll see the hydroelectric plant. We don't call electricity in Canada electricity. We call hydroelectricity. So it's hydro for short. So the hydro plant is there. And it's closed down now, but you can see, you can tour it. And then you come to the crest of the falls. And when you step just a few feet from that river, past the crest of the falls, the thunderous crash of those millions of gallons of water going over that cliff into the rocks below is a magnificent sound. Power. The power of God. I've had the pleasure of seeing a volcano. The power of God. I was standing 50 feet from a tree, from here to that window, maybe 50 feet, maybe not quite that far, 50 feet from a tree that got struck by lightning. It was amazing. I'm standing there and crack, that thing came, a flash of light. Bark goes flying everywhere. It was amazing. If we turn out the lights, I glow in the dark. It was awesome. I love to look up into the sky at night. Some of you got up very early the other morning and watched the eclipse of the moon, and the moon turned red. I know that Conley's got up and did that. They had nothing better to do, and I got up and watched that, and I had them take several pictures so I could sleep until about 8:30, and they got them watch that, and the pictures were magnificent. The power, when I think of our universe, the power of our universe, the sun. in Canada on the Great Lakes where I live, we don't see the sun much between October, the end of October, and really just now in March and April, we really start to see the sun more. Unless we get a really big snowstorm, almost every day is a gray, cloudy day. It's very depressing. Then when that sun comes out, it's like, wow. You feel the warmth of that sun. And when you can see the pictures that they've taken and how that sun is just a boiling mass, the power of the sun, what it can do, solar energy, the power of the sun, powerful things. When you see a baby born, the power of God to create that perfect little being within the womb of that mother, and come out with 10 little fingers and 10 little fingernails and those tiny little toes with the perfect toenails on them. It's just magnificent. That's the power of God. The transformation of a man who was once given to alcohol or drugs in his life almost to the point of disaster finds Christ. And he begins to change. Pretty soon he's coming to church and he's getting cleaned up, and pretty soon his life and is walking in a straight path, and he's growing in the things of the Lord, and pretty soon he's active in the things of the Lord. The transformation of a man or a woman when they're saved is the power of God. And the power of God was seen in the great revivals of past. What is it? Where does it come from? How do we tap into it? All great questions that begin to come to light in our opening text of Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive. What's that next word? That wasn't very powerful. But ye shall receive power. After that, the who? Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be what? Witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. Let me ask you, has the Holy Ghost come to you? How many of you are born again tonight? You're saved. You know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Raise your hand high in the air. You have the Holy Ghost upon you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. You have the Holy Ghost residing within you. We don't often think about that. We don't often really feel any different. We don't sense that. My daughter's getting ready to birth our next grandchild here any day. That's in part why my wife went home. She wants to be ready just in case that baby comes a little early. But I'm always fascinated. I was fascinated when my kids were, you know, in those gestational times. And my wife would be sitting there and her belly would begin to move. Mine does that when I eat a lot of pizza. You ever seen that? You guys ever seen that? She's got her dress on and it's tight, and that baby's moving. You see that foot sticking out. You can see a clear imprint of a foot. It's amazing to me. That life inside her. And I'd say to her, can you feel the baby moving around? Oh, yes. They're doing flip-flops right now, she'd say. They're doing somersaults in there. It's amazing. Men don't experience that. And let me just say this. I'm glad. It's fine what's in the inside, but it's the outside. Well, that's tough. So here, that's tough. So she's feeling that baby in there. I've never felt the Holy Spirit turn to me. I've never felt the Holy Spirit move. But I know he's there. Have you ever had that experience? You've been in a service. You've been in a prayer time. You've been in the hospital. You've had something happen, and you knew that the Holy Spirit was speaking or moving or doing something within your life. How many of you have experienced that? I've experienced it. It's almost frightening at first when you see something miraculous happen before your eyes. You're praying and all of a sudden it's taking place before your eyes. So you're praying and as a church, the thing begins to unfold and you think there's no way in the world this could ever been done by human hands or this could never just come by chance. This has to be the moving of God. And you experience that Holy Spirit of God. So then let me ask you, have you received the power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, as we see in our text? Have you ever experienced the power of the Holy Ghost? The dunamis. Dunamis is the word for power. Dunamis is the word we get dynamite from. I think many would know that. The preaching of the years, dynamite. Now, I've never handled dynamite, but I have gone out shooting with some guys, and they brought some stuff. I can't remember the name of it. Some of you guys will know. What's that? Tannerite. Thank you. Thank you. Tannerite. And they bring a bucket of Tannerite or a box of Tannerite, and if you hit that with a high-velocity bullet, it explodes, and it's powerful. I love it. I'm one of those guys. I'm a pyromaniac. I love to see things burn. If this ever gets too small and you need some insurance, we're going to edit that out, all right? Just edit that out right now. Thank you. Thank you. I love power. Boom. Guys, put a paint bucket on top or something. See how high that goes in the air. How many of you guys have done that? Man, if you've never done that, try it. It's exciting. Ladies, maybe you'd like to try that. Maybe you'd like to just shoot your husband. I don't know. But come and just, it's exciting. You have some weaponry here that we don't have in Canada, right? You've got some guns that we don't have. And man, to take a 357 Magnum or a 44 and shoot, oh man, power. That power of the Holy Ghost within us is much more than that. Have you experienced the power of God? What power was Jesus talking about when he told the disciples that phrase? After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, a power. And is it the same power available to us today? Was what Jesus promised to the disciples something that we can attain, something that we can possess, something that we can have in our lives today to see some tremendous things happen? Do you ever wish you could go back in time and see some of the things of the Bible? Don't you wish you could have been there when they blew the trumpets and the city fell down? Don't you wish you could have been there when they walked across on dry ground through the sea? Don't you wish you could have been there to see some of the great battles that God helped the people with? I wish I could have been in that time when Jesus was here and heard him and seen him. I don't know, maybe it's because I'm getting older. I don't know. I had a couple blood clot issues a few years ago, and ever since then I've become a little more emotional. And I was watching some things the other day. I use Instagram. I promote things on Instagram. I try to use it to promote the gospel and what we're doing. And I'm watching some things the other day, and they're showing pictures of people coming home, military people coming home and surprising their families. I love it. I'm working on a message for that, and I want to maybe convey, I have an idea that maybe that's a little bit of what heaven looks like. You ever think about those things like, well, what's heaven going to be? We have a little bit in the Bible that tells us, but not a lot. When we leave this world and we go to heaven, you know, we used to say that we have to go to the gate and we have to talk to Peter, and then Peter gets in, and there's kind of a joke that says that, you know, someone passed away and they went to the gate. And Peter said, well, to get in, you have to pass a quiz. You have to spell ladder, L-A-D-D-E-R. Yes, you get to go in. And then another person comes up and he says, you have to pass a test. You have to spell rabbit, R-A-B-B-I-T. And then Pastor Stensis passed away. And he got to the gate. And St. Peter said, you have to spell xylophone. He didn't get in. He didn't get in. But I don't know, when I get to heaven, what happens? Do I walk in and someone says, Jesus says, now entering the courts of heaven, Al Stone. Does that happen? I don't know. Does it happen that I walk in and I'm just overtaken and I see my loved ones and I go up and I say, Mom, Dad, I'm here? Do I walk up and touch their shoulder and they turn and there's a great joy and a great expression that we're finally reunited together? Or do I walk in and somebody says, what are you doing here? I don't know. I'd like to think it's that surprise. And And I, my mom and dad and my grandpa and grandma and my mother, my other grandma and my other uncles that are there and church members there. And I they turn and they see me and we embrace and it's exciting. And then I see in the distance, Jesus. What's he look like? I think all of us have tried to imagine that, haven't we? I know this, he doesn't have long sissy hair. Doesn't look like some sissy. He was a carpenter's son. He was a tecton son, a probably wood and stone worker. And I catch his eye, and I see him. And I see those nail-pierced hands, and those nail-pierced feet. And I look into the eyes of the lover of my soul. Wouldn't you have loved to have heard him say, "Peace be still"? How did he say that? I really try to do a color play. Now, when we go to Israel, again, come to Israel with us next February. We're going to go on a boat out into the Sea of Galilee, a replica boat of what they may have used in that time period. You'll see one that they found that's over 2,000 years old. They unearthed it. It was in the mud of the Sea of Galilee, and they extracted it out. You'll see it. He's on that boat. The winds are whipping and things are tumultuous. Did he say, "Peace, be still"? I don't think he did. I think he said, "Peace, be still." The power of his voice. The power of his voice. He stretched out his hand and men fell over backward. Power. Loved to have seen that. Let's take a look at that power, the power of God and its part in revival. Let's first look at the power of God in silence. In silence. Go to John chapter 14. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, you received, as part of God's promise, the silent power of God. In John chapter 14, verses 16 to 18, it says this, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you," now watch this, "another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Now watch this. This is something that I didn't catch until just a few years ago, even as a preacher, as a Christian. A comforter will come, but another comforter. Catch it? He says, watch, "And I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter." So then who is the first comforter? Right? Another comforter. So who's the comforter that these disciples who are with Jesus, who's the comforter he's speaking about? Anybody know? I think it's Jesus. Right? That seems to be in the context. "I'll pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter." Why? Because that comforter was leaving. Jesus was leaving. "That he may abide with you forever." So who is it that's going to abide with us forever? Jesus. Now again, this is part of the Trinity of God. This is the great uniqueness about God. God can be in heaven and he can be here at the same time. Jesus can be here doing the work of the Father, but yet he's ever present. He's omniscient. He's God. And in an understanding that I don't have, I can't grasp this, I don't get this. Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding for us, but he indicates here that he's going to be within us. That's pretty amazing. We have a part of the Savior. We have the Savior within us that will abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the and the life, the truth. But ye know him, you already have known him. Watch now, I will come to you." We often think Jesus is off in the distance, he in heaven. Father, he are in heaven, but it indicates here that he is with us. Wow, that's amazing to me. "After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall receive power. You won't hear him He won't say anything. You won't feel anything. But the moment the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you will receive a power of God. Now, I will tell you this. When I got saved, even as a 9-year-old little boy, when I got done that prayer, Heavenly Father, please forgive me of my sin. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Thank you for dying on the cross. In Jesus' name I pray. Something happened in my life. Anybody experience what I did? It was like a weight was lifted off me. It was like a piano was on me and a piano got lifted off. Anybody else experience anything like that? Anybody start crying when you get saved, when you got saved? Anybody sense an immediate change in your life? It's different for all of us, but I'm telling you, I felt something in my life. The power of God. He said it would come. And look what that power is in verse 8. In verse 8, it says, this is in Acts 7, 8. What is it? And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. From the silent power of God within comes a power to be a witness for him. When you got saved, you got the power to be a witness for Christ. Now let me ask you, are you availing yourself to that power? When you say in your weakness, I'm too timid, I'm too quiet, I'm too shy, I'm too whatever excuse you want to give, listen, all you have to do is tap into the power that you already have within you. You don't have to go anywhere else. It's already there. Heavenly Father, I want to talk to my brother, but I'm afraid. Empower me. Holy Ghost that resides within me, that gives me the power that I got at salvation, would you please empower me to talk to my coworkers tomorrow about the things of the Lord? Revival comes. Listen, revival comes when saints finally tap into the power source that's available to them, but they don't use. And if we think about it as a church, I know there are a number of people coming. I know things are happening. I know a lot of people, great things are happening. But what part have you played in people receiving Christ and coming to this church? Did you know that young boys can have the power of God in their lives? Do you know that, Chase? Did you know that you can have the power of God in your life? Chase is a great guy. We've become good friends. Chase, do you know that you can talk to people about Jesus Christ? Do you know that you can talk to some people about Jesus Christ that I can't talk to about Jesus Christ and get away with it? If I, as a 61-year-old man, start walking through this town and say, hey, little boys, can I talk to you? Exactly. 911. Brother Conley told me the other night, he says, if somebody breaks in my house, I'm not calling 911, I'm calling 811. Do you know what that number is? That's the number you call before you dig a hole. I just want you to know there's going to be a hole dug in my backyard. If I was walking down your street and you didn't know me and I said, hey, boys, can I talk to you? You'd be sticking your head out the window. You'd be coming out the door. Some dads would be cocking a gun. You get away from my boys. You don't talk. I go up to some little girls in town. Hey, little girl, can I talk to you? Creeper. Right? But if you go talk to some girl, nobody thinks anything of that, right? So you guys have an opportunity, high school kids. Old people, let's be honest, some teenagers don't think old people are cool. Hang around me, you'll find out that's not true at all. Pookie. But if a teenager walks up and says, hey man, you wanna shoot some hoops? Yeah, I'll shoot some hoops. What's your name? Luke. Awesome. Hey, man, we're having something going on at our church. You ever been to church? Nah, I've never been to church. I go to church. I want to tell you, man, it's awesome. Would you come just one time with me? Just one time. Come and see what it's all about. If you never want to come again, that's fine. Just come. If I walk onto a basketball court and say, okay, do you want to play basketball? He's going to laugh his head off. He's going to say, oh, man, the only thing you dunk is donuts. That's the only thing. Some of you seniors, well, I'm just too old and nobody will listen to me. You know who listens to seniors? Other seniors. You've experienced life. You've got something in common. Go to a coffee shop. If only you had a Tim Hortons. Man, we could have revival. there's a coffee shop here in town. I haven't been to it, but some people told me there's a coffee shop. There's a great food truck down the street. There's Bob Evans. There's some fast food. Hey, why don't you just determine that in the morning, like a lot of the seniors in town, go to McDonald's and sit there with a cup of coffee, have your Bible open, and as people start coming in and you start seeing them time after time and they're wondering what you're doing and say, hey, what are you reading? You say, hey, sit down here and I'll tell you. It's the Bible. God used it to change my life. We've got to start looking for those ways that we can allow the Holy Spirit to unleash his power in our everyday lives. The silence. Then we see in speaking, Jesus is rather emphatic, is he not? Ye shall be witnesses unto me. There's no question. Everywhere you go, you will speak of me. The thought of declaring God's word to an unsaved world engulfed in sin in the flesh is intimidating. It's for some frightening. It's for others seemingly impossible. In the revivals of past, the inward working of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of the saved moved them to declare God's message of hope with little or no reserve. And I will tell you this, that there's testimony after testimony that people were moved to be saved without people even saying anything. But the presence of those Christians, the presence of the Holy Spirit in that place, so overcame the loss that they wanted to know how to be saved. Sometimes we just have to be there. Sometimes we just have to be active. Sometimes we just have to be right. Maybe we're not seeing revival today because we have Christians who have a power of the Holy Spirit, but it's so cluttered with all the things of this world within our lives. You can't watch TV for a half hour and not be affected by the junk on it. You can't hardly be on a computer. You can't hardly be on Instagram or Facebook or X or any of those things without having something come that clouds our minds, clouds our thoughts, and dirties our lives. Right? And we wonder why we don't see revival. Because we've limited the power supply of the Holy Ghost, that spoken word of God. Are we seeing revival today? No. And are we begging the Holy Spirit for the exercise of power? Revival comes when a saint bathed in prayer enables the power of God to move through them, and the result is an uncontrollable urge to tell others of that awesome God. When I see God allow me to see my family saved, I'm so excited. Our daughter-in-law got saved. I was so burdened about that. I'd weep every day. God, please, I'm begging you. I can't stand the thought. I call my son, son, did she get saved today? Not yet, Dad, but she's getting ready. Dad, she's right there. Dad, she's going to do it. She finally goes and talks to her pastor, gets saved. I'm so excited about that. I'm telling everybody I can. And I'm saying, hey, listen, if you've got this little girl was from a Mexican background. She's from Mexico. Her family's from Mexico. They've been in the States for a couple generations, but she's still got that culture. And they went to a Catholic church. And she said, I go, but I don't get anything out of it, as many Catholics say. And she said, I just know that there's a God. I know that Jesus died, but I just don't have that connection. When she found that connection, there was a power that came into her life. And I'm excited about that, so I'm telling other people. Man, there's so many things that we could tell people about today, as I've said repeatedly, and I'll say it again. There's such a world that's out there hurting. There's so many hurting people today. There's a lot of people that aren't going to church today because they got hurt in a church years ago because somebody was not right, somebody wasn't doing the right things, and God hurt somebody. There are people out there that need the power of God re-energized in their lives today by somebody who'll just love them and care for them and say, listen, that's not happening in our church. That's not the way that we operate in our church. Our people love each other, and we're working together, and our pastors, a godly man, and our staff is a very great help, and it's just so good. You got to come and be a part of it. The spoken word. Speak to those you know who are lost and invite them this week, and they will hear a clear salvation message, I promise you. And then finally, we see, and very quickly, we see in surrender, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I'll turn there quickly and read it for you. Our time is slipping away. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Let me stop there. Look here for just a second. How holy are we today? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning. When I was a kid, I think we sang that every service. It's an old song, good song, powerful song. How holy are we? The Bible says, be holy as what? As I am holy. Are we that holy? I don't think so. Again, there are so many distractions today. I believe that's the devil's secret weapon of this day, distraction. We're just so distracted with so many things. We're so tired all the time. I can't go to church. I'm too tired. I can't do something. I'm too tired. All those things. We have the invention of computers. We think, oh, life's going to be so much easier and so much faster now. There won't be all that paperwork. I'm doing more paperwork and spending more time with a dumb computer, and it crashes, and then somebody can't find it. It's terrible. Distraction. Are we holy as he is holy? Let's go on there. It says in verse 2, and be not conformed to this. Let me finish that verse. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Let me stop and say this. I think we are. What separates you from an unsaved world? Well, we'd say Jesus Christ, but is there anything else that the world might tangibly be able to see and say, yeah, they're different? They're not smoking. They're not drinking. Oh, wait, there are many Christians who are. I am shocked. I am flabbergasted. I am ashamed of the number of people that think that drinking alcohol is acceptable by God. Wine bibbers. I don't drink. I've never drank. I praise the Lord. I've never had a drink of any alcohol in my life other than NyQuil, which is medicinal. I don't drink that stuff. I don't need that stuff. I say, why do you drink that? It relaxes me. You know what relaxes me? Good, godly music, praying, fellowship with the saints. I'm not going to lose my mind. I'm not going to drive and kill somebody. I'm not going to influence other people. Stay away from that stuff. It's terrible. Young people, don't you touch that stuff. It's not for the Christian. I can prove it to you if you want. We won't take the time tonight. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God with a clear mind. When the Christian, empowered and emboldened, surrenders to the will of God, an unsaved world sees and senses something of God in them. Removed from the influence of this world and given over completely to God provides a good and right way for all men to see God. That's why persecution brings revival. It proves the power of God and being willing to die for him. How many of us tonight are prepared to die for the sake of the gospel? How about just killing off some of the nonsense of our life so that God can shine through in our lives? Let's put away the wasted time. Let's put away the things that are frivolous. Let's put away the things that are time-consuming, and let's dedicate ourselves to the things of God so much so that people say there's something about them. There's something different about them. There's a presence of the Lord in their lives. Revival comes when we are surrendered, we are holy, and we are acceptable unto God. But oh, so many of us today are conformed to this world, distracted by all it has. Revival comes when minds are renewed from our will to God's. Let me ask you tonight. Do you have the silent power of God within you? If you said you're saved, the answer is yes. You do. You have the power of God within you. Would you say this, everybody, nice and clear? I have the power of God within me. Say it with me. I have the power of God within me. I have the Holy Spirit of God within me. I have the Holy Spirit of God within me. I am empowered. I am empowered. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Lord, I want to talk to somebody, but I'm nervous. He strengthens me. God, I want to read my Bible, but I'm so distracted. He strengthens us. God, I want to pray and be more active in my prayer life. He strengthens us because of the silent power. Do you, in speaking of God, declare the power of God? I sing the mighty power of God. Do we say it? Have you told anybody of late? Could I share my testimony with you? Could I tell you what happened in my life? Can I share how God has changed me? Can I share with you how our marriage has become stronger? Our kids are good and serving and good things. Could I tell you that I don't need the things of this world to get me by? Could I tell you that I'm not dependent on anything other than the power of Jesus Christ in my life? When's the last time you took a Bible and sat down with somebody and showed them how to get saved? When's the last time? This week? This month? This year? If ever. Let me tell you, let me empower you tonight. If somebody will let you do that, you think, I don't know, say, the Holy Spirit will help you. I've witnessed to people, and they've asked me a question. I thought, oh, man, there's a verse about that. And I couldn't remember it, and then, boom, I think of it. It's like, where'd that come from? Or God will give me something or something, and they'll say, man, how did you know that? I say, God told me. Boy, there's a power. If you'll just exercise it. Do we in surrender demonstrate the power of God to a sin-sick world? You know someone tonight. You know somebody. Who's somebody that's struggling? Their marriage is bad. Their job is turmoil. They don't have enough money. They're using drugs. They're involved in alcohol. They're wrapped in pornography. Their kids are being abused. Kids are being abused. How many of you know somebody that's going through a very, very difficult time tonight? Would you slip your hand up high in the air? You know somebody like that tonight? Lift your hand high in the air. That's a lot of people. And if you don't tonight, let me encourage you, just get out in the world a little bit and listen to people. Oh, you'll hear it. Watch the news. You'll hear it. We have an opportunity. When's the last time you felt the power of God through the moving of the Holy Spirit of God? When's the last time you spoke in that power of His word and saving message? When's the last time in surrender to His will that you provided and proved to a sin-sick world that something was missing in their lives? The power that gives peace and hope and purpose. Until we get there, revival will continue to pass us by. I give you this verse, and we close. Psalm 68:35. O God, Thou art terrible out of Thy holy places. The God of Israel is He that giveth strength and power unto His people. Blessed be God. There it is. Let me invite you tonight in a very simple call. Let me invite you tonight to come to this old-fashioned altar. We had a great altar call this morning. You say, well, I already went this morning. Listen, if God speaks to you in any of these messages at any time, you come. When I was a kid and we saw revival in my hometown, I know this, almost every service, this frontal altar place was packed. Packed. Every space available. And it came back two and three deep. Sometimes it went down the aisles of people. And we were weeping and we were begging God to do something great. And then over time, that began to dry up. And Mr. Wet Eyes gave way to Mr. Dry Eyes. And when that happens, there's no revival. Church, could I just be honest? When's the last time you wept for the lost in your life? When's the last time you wept because you haven't been able to tell anybody about Christ for a few days? When's the last time you said, God, I'm so broken by my sin, by my life. I'm so disgusted by it. I deal with it over and over. I'm not doing it anymore. When's the last time you came and said, God, I want revival. I want my kids to know revival. I want this town to know there's something different in this place. And God, I'm not leaving until you give me that power, assurance that I can go out tomorrow and tell somebody about Christ. Revival comes when God's people know the power of God and share it with others. Father, thank you for this day, for these good folks. Help us now to come and seek the power of God again and to know it and to touch it and to spend it with others. Help us, I pray. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. In a moment, the piano begins to play. Would you come to this altar right now? Would you step out and come right now? The power of God. Young people, come and pray. Adults, come and pray. And let me ask you this. If you have a teenager here tonight and they're praying, would you come, parents, and pray with your kids tonight? Say, son, dad's here, and I'm going to pray with you tonight. You and I are going to ask for the power of God. Your daughter's here. Maybe mom's, your dad's not here tonight. Girls, your mom's here. Come and pray with your daughters and say, hey, daughter, I want to pray with you tonight. I want to encourage you. If your grandkids are here, would you come and pray with your grandkids tonight? Say, grandson, granddaughter, I love you. Let's pray together that God uses us together. You get the young ones, I'll get the old ones. Would you come and pray with your grandkids right now? They're here at this altar. Come on, come on, don't wait. Don't wait, I see some alone. Don't wait, come on. Husband and wife tonight, would you come and say, honey, let's be that person tonight. Let's be that family. Our other family's not saved. Our other family doesn't have the things of God. Let's come together in union and say, God, use us. We want revival, Lord. We want it. We beg you for it. We have everything within our reach to have it, but yet we're not seeing it. Maybe some would pray tonight, God, reveal in my life what's missing because I'm not seeing revival come through me. Those who are standing tonight, when you're done praying, you can be seated. Oh God, Holy Spirit, move amongst us. Power of God, be unleashed upon us. Let us leave here tonight different than when we came. May we be so bold tomorrow. May we be so untethered that people would say there's something going on in that church. When you're done praying, you can be seated. Some are being seated now. Others are being seated.